Welcome to the So-and-So series, readings by early career poets.
Thanks for coming to the So-and-So series. This is the ninth reading, so I guess it's the ninth month we've been doing this. I usually start out with a poem. My wife Allison told me not to read this poem. Either I don't do it well or she doesn't like the poem. Probably both. Huh? Turn off cell phones? I kind of like when people's cell phones go off.
Keep them on.
Keep them on. Make a friend call you. So one of the readers, John Cotter, and I have been talking about this poet, August Kleinthaler, recently, so it reminded me to break him back out. So I'm going to be reading one of his poems to start off the reading. It's called Green Sees Things in Waves. Green, first thing each day, sees waves. The chair, armoire, overhead fixtures, you name it, waves. Which, you might say, things really are. But Green just lies there a while, breathing long, slow breaths in and out through his mouth, like he was maybe seasick, until in an hour or so the waves simmer down, and then the trails and colors off of things, that all quiets down as well. And Green starts to think of washing up, breakfast even, with everything still moving around, colors, trails, and sounds, from the street and plumbing next door, vibrating. Of course, you might say that that's what sound really is, after all, vibrations. But Green, he's not thinking physics at this stage, nuh-uh. Our boy's only trying to get himself out of bed, get a grip. But sometimes, and this is the kicker, another party, shall we say, is in the room with Green. And Green knows this other party, and they do not get along, which understates it quite a bit, quite a bit. And Green knows that this other cat is a hallucination, right? But these two have a routine that go way back, and Green starts hollering, throwing stuff until he's all shook up, whole day gone to hell. Bummer. Anyhow, the docs are having a look, see if they can't dream up a cocktail. But seems our boy ate quite a pile of acid one time. Clinical, wow, enough juice for half a block. Go, 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 little greenie. Blew the wiring out from behind his headlights, and now, no matter what, can't find the knob to turn off the show. Okay. So I am proud to present the Flint Forum Press's reading of O-One Arrow, which is this, Exhibit A. Purchase it for a mere $18. Two of the editors will be reading tonight, as well as two of the editors of New Genre. Purchase it as well. I don't know the price of this. What is this?
$8.
Is there a combo deal? Like both for 45 cents or something?
Sure. Yeah. $5 for New Genre if they buy it on One Arrow.
Sweet. Point Out Cafe and buy books. Yes, please visit the cafe. We're going to have an intermission. I'm sure the more we purchase, the more Porter Square will love us. And books. They have an excellent poetry section here, actually, and other sections, I'm sure. Mention intermission. Donations. At intermission, Abby, with the cowboy hat, will be taking donations. This is for rent at our other venue, which is the Lily Pad in Inman Square, which used to be the Zeitgeist. And for any travel expenses for the authors. Believe you me, the So-and-So series is a non-profit. Also, I left my clipboard here, I think, last time, but Abby and Kate bought me a new one. Sign up, and you'll get all the emails for the So-and-So stuff, so you'll be... doesn't matter, I send the email at like 30 seconds before the reading anyway. But anyway, if you want to put your email up here, do so. Our first reader will be Adam Galaski, who is the editor of both of these fine things, New Genre, and more importantly, Flim Forum Press, as far as tonight goes. Well, as far as tonight goes. Adam Galaski is co-editor at Flim Forum Press and horror fiction editor of New Genre. Is known to a small but devoted... This is my favorite bio, by the way. Sorry, it's first. Is known to a small but devoted group of fans as the lead singer of Outlet, 1991 through 1996. Moment of silence for Outlet. A two-man punk outfit formed in Woodland, Maine, their best-known recording, Letter to Mars, was distributed exclusively fan-to-fan on cassette. The original four-track recordings made in Amherst College in an Amherst College basement were stolen. It makes it worth more. Outlet stepped into the studio once more in 2000 and recorded the raw stuff for a new album, as of yet unreleased. Two tracks from those sessions, Why Worry Rosary and I'm Bored Airports, became minor hits for Golaski as he performed them at Boston area clubs. The other half of Outlet, Jeremy Withers, still works with Golaski in the capacity of graphic designer. He designed this book, which you will purchase. Aside from the beautiful 01 era, Withers is also responsible for the look of the new genre number 4, which you will also purchase. Adam Golaski. And Adam will tell us a little bit more about these fine publications.
Clap.
Thank you, Chris. Yes. Just briefly, this is New Genre Magazine, which Jeff Paris and I co-edit. He's somewhere here. There he is. It is a journal of science fiction and horror fiction, kind of a nice contrast, I guess, to what Matthew Klein and I are doing, which is 01 era. And while it's pretty well explained within the book itself, and so if you purchase it, you won't need an explanation, it's an anthology of contemporary poets, and while I think a lot of those poets, but not all of them, would call their work experimental, one of our goals was to make sure that the work did not require some sort of framework of theory, so this work can be enjoyed for itself, in and of itself. We tried to give the poets a lot of room to breathe. Some of the excerpts are as long as 15 or 16 pages. Even the shortest excerpts are, you know, 6-7 pages long. So you get a good sample of 16 different poets, all of whom are living, 4 of whom are here tonight, 1 of whom is myself. I'm going to be reading, obviously, a few poems. One of them will be from the book. This first one is an excerpt from a larger piece called Receipt Piece. I won't explain a whole lot about it, other than to say that as a compositional tool, I use the backs of receipts to determine certain things, length, initial line breaks, but when you get into the actual editing, finally, you change everything, and what you originally did often sort of vanishes. So these are a few of the receipt pieces, and you'll get it pretty quickly. Tower Records, $13.64. Imagine you alto, hallelujah, hallelujah, while the boys sang Handel, you Bach. I've listened to the 4th on CD. I've heard you sing next to me. You fill the air around me with subtle emotion. Death's lost sting, he none commands, for God we sing. Thought you note for note when listened to stereo. I know you're more clear, straight backed like a church pew. True voice like church pew. Harvard Cooperative Society, trade, $26.20. Recorder player plays odes to weather. We are learning, embedding one another, showing tangle beneath your tangle. It takes two to tangle. A tone more than a tone fills, then seeps away, washes out an empty culvert, fills a tone that found odes. We are weather embedded, a tone, another. Tonight this one is for winter, my niece. CVS Pharmacy, AA 2-pack, $2.39. If you don't think I got a good price, you can let me know. Chair Perfect and Good Beats, a chair music, same chair frame, different beat upholstery. Face the window like it ain't no thang, all day sun bold on wood arms. Name chair, child's name chair, and beats, the beats of a newborn baby. Chili's, Tempe, $62.09, plus $13 for tip. Arizona, see Part shadow roll from ear, heat shadow from car, lithophone stone lantern. Adam Fuss, your mylar canvas, circle lattice, untitled since 1994. Carry seed, plywood, copper, silk, dive ripples stretched taut over wire. Matthew Jolly, you hate osprey, the otter, and the salmon, that title so awkwardly direct. Walk through great fountain, step fountain, wall fountain, and remain dry as museum air, Arizona. McKinnon's Market, cheese and eggs, $4.02. This hour, birds haywire at the edge of roofs, tops, light striae, kettle warm and so fast. A knot of copper grows to the glow of brass, and the clouds gain detail by cobalt and salmon among oak and willow. I woke to seagulls squall from a dream of a walk through a wood, high along a hill, calf deep in snow, military arrangement of stone below. The Joshua Tree, server 115, $26.56, and $5 for tip. How has the taste of food changed? Meal of same thing? Adam, treat this note sincerely. Treat this meal of my heart with delicate kindness, and you will remember what food tasted like. That this meal of me is all you need. I love you. Back to CVS Pharmacy, Maxell XL 11, 5-pack, $9.44. In the company of skull diagram, the intricacy of it, sinus holes to relieve pressure, sockets, muscles, brains. Brains! Was all this just happy accident, descended on a found line? My soul says no. My brains say, I don't know. Oh, great scrambled brains, where did you come from? Grolier Poetry Bookshop, $20.95. Amy, sleepiness is like drunkenness, but sweeter. In a real bachelor's apartment with books and whiskey, I want nothing more than to be in your room with piano and coffee. Is this sweet sleepiness talking? The charm of exhaustion needing to charm? Hardly. It's the dream of later. The warmth of dream, the intangibility, you and I will be together soon. This is one of those greatest hits that you've heard so much about. It's called Why Worry Rosary. Why worry rosary while asleep? In bed, ask Blessed Virgin Mary, where is there prayer that sings essentially? Count 10, count 1, count 3. Footboard and headboard bracket extremities. Last chapter read, don't sweat the last chapter, other beats to read. Count 10, count 1, count 3. What sleep is hallowed be? Rest on chest heavy rosary beads, no sweat, while sleep to painless steeple symphony. Why worry floorboards when I can sleep? Whistle steeple symphony. What prayer counts beauty rosary? Count 10, count 10, count 10 again. Rosary liturgy, the liturgy of hours, 10, 10, 1, 1, 3, 3. Litany, akathistos, and paraklesis, called choral office, called Byzantineless hymns, Armenians, Coptics, Syrians. Glory be to the drowsy dresser drawer, the hardwood floor which rises. Why worry the floorboards when I could be asleep? I sweep the floor, I count the broom, 1, 10, 1, 10, 1, 3. On my side I sleep, sleep with rosary. The floor is a sloping field of wild grasses. The Teutons' horses crush grasses, roses the Teutons ride black crosses on white cloaks, their helmets, their visors venerate God, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Their hymns are marches 110, 110 and 10 again. Their vows are charity, poverty, chastity, round their necks the rosary. Teutons ride the hardwood floor, they ride with blood swords, of blood swords like crosses, swords which venerate their lord. Their horses crush grasses, crush roses. The Teutons, a horde, rich horde, rape a rich horde, black crosses across the hardwood floor. Horses, blood-soaked horses, rode from Malbork to Grunwald. Malbork, but pious Teutons, Casimiras, drive the black knights from their crusading. Sing rosary hymns. Casimiras found me built of wood, but left me built of stone. In bed, sleep, brackets, a sloping field. Why worry rosary while asleep? Count 10, count 1, count 3. Speak mother tongue, blessed mother tongue. Why speak while I'm asleep? There are beats to speak, 3, 3, 3, 1, 3, 10, and 10 again. Others, other counts to keep, rosary, virgin, blessed Mary tongue, called Armenians, Coptics, Syrians, painless steeple sings painful medieval piety, sings sleepful rosary, symphony sings chest heavy, rosary, glory be, beads, no sweat, I speak of Mary. I count beauty while asleep speak of doubt. Should rosary count of doubt, no person should be sure. More beats to read, last worry for Blessed Virgin Mary. Count 10, count 1, count 3, count on uncertainties. Worry beads, worry sleep, brackets the day prayer. What worry sings essentially? The hymns and heavy rosary, doubt count 10, count 1, count 3. Painless bedroom Byzantine, choral bedroom symphony, I whistle doubt, no sweat, and why worry rosary while I could be asleep? Like the receipt pieces, in a sense, I like to write on different surfaces, and using the surfaces as kind of a guide or something of an inspiration. And this poem is a poem like that. It's called Nap, and it was written on a 4-page Chanel ad spread. The intellectual nap cries for attention. A sleep can be seated anywhere. Dedication. You do not know what you are missing. If you do, our knees will not be illicit. Sleep will, sleep will, you sleep will, sweet prince, rain, sweet rains. Oh, my motivation is obscure. Obfuscate your face, obfuscate your face before bedtime. My motivation takes naps all over a frayed fabric, a sleep seated worry, a nap for trouble. Troubled minds, we sleep to gather our strength, nap now, and we need not linger. This piece is from the book. There are a series of pieces I've been writing called voice notes, and they're actually, I was trying to figure out a way that I could write in the car without actually causing myself a great deal of harm. And in the past that involved dangerous maneuvers, but I had an old cell phone, and it allowed me to record maybe 8 minutes worth of stuff. And so I started recording, and they're called voice notes, and I started recording these voice notes, and from the voice notes I built these poems. The first voice notes I wrote while driving in Montana, up long highway stretches. This voice note is the first voice note that I wrote on my return to Connecticut and Massachusetts. It's set on Route 84, and it's called Voice Notes 4, Back and Forth on 84. Good morning. The lights all morning the lights flickered, all faded, the lights all faded, dust yellow, faded, flickered, all black, exhausted, the lights exhausted. I met them all faded, dust yellow mornings, newspapers blown across the highway. On a bedsheet filthy with exhaust, welcome home, Jeffrey Fox. See the moon behind me, almost full but faded, gray-made valley filled with fog, roadway rivulet, deer in a ditch, all clamber and crow, all observation, coffin, automobile. Rain 5 days, drive in the rain. Rain 5 days, driven the rain. Rain 5 days, driven the rain. Rain 5 days, driven rain. Rain 5 days, driven rain. Rain 5 day, driven rain. Rain 5 day, driven rain. Rain of day, driven rain. Rain of day, driven rain. Rain day, driven ran. Ran day, driven ran. Die, driven ran, die. Driven, ran, die, driven, run, die, driven, run, die, doctor and run, die, doctor and run, doctor died. Rain 5 days, still no sky at all. 5 days of rain on the way to the hospital, on the way to the hospital and back again. Bladed and milk-muddied clouds drag green along with white but blue-gray cups riding in the spray of a roadway express truck. The thick gray whorl of white clouds bred shape from the little valley. As storm clears away, people gathered to clap. Granddad, I can't tell the clouds from the hills, high gray hills and low gray clouds. Rained 5 days, driving in the spray, exhaust, options. The music, mostly gray with red points of light. The air and rain is mostly sky and rain with deer and broken line, mine and mine to see. The day is mostly flooded road with brake lights and rain. The mist and rain is mostly autos with autos and hands. Granddad, the flooded road is mostly air with hands, objects of the air and rain, mostly sky and rain with deer. Look, the coffins of the broken sky drive exhaust across. There can be a white cross with Jesus saves drawn upon. A man stands perpetual, horizontal rain and spray, rain and exhaust, up on a white cross. A man stands in the breakdown lane and we say, what we shall be has not yet been revealed. With a cross, a white cross, and the phrase, Jesus saves, drawn across, drawn upon exhaust. Open wide the music of your task. Laughs, destination. As the road is repaired, signs are covered black. Black plastic fabric drawn and covered, all arrows are covered, 84 north and south, back and forth, my trembling auto smashed and ashes.
John Connor.
He has published work in Third Bed, Goodfoot, Hanging Loose, Fail Better, Pebble Lake, Coconut Poetry, the Columbian Journal of American Studies, and
Columbia,
other.
Columbia.
Oh, it says Columbian here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Columbia.
You're like international, man.
I'm trying to cover it up. That's true.
Columbia as in New York, or Columbia as in...
Columbia is in the school.
Right. Yeah. Chicago.
It's almost an Ivy.
Almost. It's almost in South America. He lives in Cambridge, where he's working on a novel. That one said working. That was my fault. In 2007, his work will appear in Vault, Unpleasant Event Schedule, Word for Word, and O1 Era. John Cotter.
What are these two things up here? What's this and what's this?
They're both monitoring you, John.
Okay, thank God.
They don't like to be touched.
All right, I had a lot of salt today.
Brother.
Okay. Who makes their own language? Oh, they'll blow us wide open, my wee moa. That drift of sounds I coo unique as a Labrador duck will fly from us. Who makes their own language burns maps like Arawaks who mine pure gold. Who makes their own language will fall through a trap door. Join the choir. Thanks, Chris and Adam. This next set of poems is about my hometown. And they're kind of poems that are similar to the way I think people who don't read a lot of poetry assume poems are like. And in this case, they're right. They want to convert the American Finishing Company. While your poison colors streaked the river, Norwich ate hearty, woke up early. Kids grown hard on oatmeal, made the life of you. Hard to think you were real as you are for me. Empty city, old world, under brick. Our brochures larder you with art. Velvet heirloom, river naked. I strain my edge to feel you emptier. Refuse to learn how real you were. Our ties move south with the labor. Your bare halls stretch the past, scrub the future. Louse. Rumors of wild deer float along the cul-de-sac while Neil and I puff cigar rings down his kit porch. Vinyl pool raised high enough to heft yourself in. Passing by with the dog like I did made him obliged to offer me a beer. Strain small talk in the quiet sundown of his acre. His neighbor's son nabbed for embezzlement, but they held the tree line. They were all right people. My age, Neil snaked louse scrub. Once drunk in the tent at Don's 2 acres by the porta bar, Neil said he was scared when his plane touched Saigon. All this time, he talked from the side of his mouth. There was nothing to do with my spent cigar on Don's unfinished porch. School C. Summer catches Alston. Girls in their 20s re-inhabit leather, dress bangs. Their eyes shoot once, fall away. Fly-blown bodegas graduate into emporiums. You wake in strange beds. Kids in your style cross against the lights, and every chamber of the heart fills out its paperwork. You're sleeping, I'm dreaming you're sleeping. I read a book with a character almost exactly like you and confused you with her originally and later especially. I gloss little differences. The way you crack ice with your heel isn't how she would have waited for my arm, shivered. I woke with one of you and dreamed the other, and I'm still not sure who I reached for. I hid the book when you came over. It had a pink cover and a dark silhouette half turned toward me or some browser, like you had a bad thought in your head to shake out. Only now you're gone, I try to peel you separate, remember you real. Like it would have been you, not her, who could steal half my drink without my seeing, you talking the whole while, your wide eyes open. It would have been her who told me about the kids back then, how cruel they were. And she would have shouted and hollered me down when I stormed out Sunday. And you would have been who I found when I ducked into the nearest bar, looking for someone alone, and she would have warned me about you. I've been writing some poems lately, a Catullus series, based on the Roman poet Gaius Valerius Catullus. Some of them are sort of strict translations, others just use a few lines from Catullus, and they're sort of unique ideas, or original ideas, or my ideas. Compound interest. First, find someone you don't mind kissing. Then let her show you who was a lower lip sucker and who made her shiver. Your turn. Sell everyone out. Say this is how they kissed me. R, too eager. D, professional. Or how about P, who opened up her mouth and that was all, just held it there expectantly. Then show her history of kisses to someone else you don't mind kissing. Make her 101, another 100, and then 1,000, and then another 100. You'll reach back further than you know. We've all been playing hard. Come, let's collect. This one's more of a actual translation of Catullus 8. Or Carmen 8 in the collected Catullus. Bitter, John. Let the bottles on Russ's top shelf have the evening off. Keep your phone in your pocket. What you loved is gone. From the purple light of her Watertown shades, you woke to fall on the floor of clubs or cabs. You blew on the heat, on the light in her eyes, till you felt heat come. You've tossed in damp sheets, and your heart's not even hard. Kill it all. You're a name on her wall, and it's illegible. Let that be your name now. Say, I will smile when I see you. I will shake his hand, and your phone will stay quiet and still in your pocket. Your face is art and odd, but life catches up. I learn to ignore the lines each day, but they'll deep. Fewer and fewer will think you're beautiful. I guess your love's not to guess long. Who will kiss your old face? Who belonged to you? Whose lip will you bite? Love is beyond you, John. It's biting quartz. You taught yourself to take too soft. Be cold. This is the last in the Catullus series. It's a more bitter poem than I am in person. It's stylized. Titles from Colin Hodges. He gave me a bunch of titles I should write poems to, and he gave me this one called Gin Mill Perfume. Gin Mill Perfume. He's the mic. Wake everybody up a little bit, right? Stop Rob laughing his ass off in the back, which he was doing. Totally rude. Gin Mill Perfume. So you've settled down, pregnant and talking about it. You blend pate in the evenings, coagulate apple jelly with pectin from the stems. After the quiet party, I drove you home early, faked an interest in your belly, even touched it. Do I miss whole weekends you drank and dried out? Lips that looked like pumice felt soft after 4. How the truth on your breath drifted over my skin when you slipped through your dress. Still, I crave your sweets, little cakes, glazed with sugary rose water, sugary lemon. Years from now, would you give your husband the night off? Maybe come down my new address in your old black dress and breathe gin mill perfume like its elegance. Oh, this is the actual last one in the Catullus series. It's called Sonnet, because it's an actual line, like rhyme sonnet. It's Petrarchan. Anyone can look at it later. Sonnet. I'd like to remember your smile, cocked at mine, eyes bright over the gallow box, in that gallery we thought we owned. We posed and drank red wine all through the city. I lost it like a pulled sliver when you dared me to hit you. Just before you threw the cab door open on the shivering ride back home. I grabbed your hair, yanked you inside, and you turned and slurred, why don't you do it? As though I'd lose my grip for long enough to swing, or as if I could. We spent the night unknowingly finishing your portrait. Lately, I've come to curate, and the rough fire in your eyes hits your likeness right. And here's one from O1 Arrow by Flim Forum. $18. That's just 8 cups of coffee and a scone. Real life. No one from your real life stayed at home tonight. Keep up your search for the real street where they rack suits your size, the real house where they know your intimacies. Remember the smell of food like wholesome opium coming out of the kitchen. Children who shut doors silently, your shelves full of pricey frames. You take one down, strange as what's behind those vanished blinds you find in pages yellowed gold. Study deep, as though you were in a public library closing early for summer hours. Just a couple more. This one's also in Flim. It's called Six Notes for the Afterlife. One. In the afterlife. After that stripping, you'll arrive bare of the bark and warp of dark inertia that clouded even the sweetest dinner with Jamie, say, and her chihuahua. Aged Gouda, landmines of salt, fish with crisp skin, Korean beer. Without the traffic, we could hear cicadas. Think of the nights you've pressed against your girl, and still unsatisfied, you press her to the wall. The afterlife is like that want fulfilled. I've been writing a book about the past since high school. As the moon grows full, my arm and shoulder mire and muck. Fights with the family at table, killing time in a record store because you killed it there 10 years ago. Figuring out which girl's playing air cello on the Esquire cover. Eating somewhere because at least you know what they offer. Calling the girl you fought with last night because you loved her last year. Checking your messages. Stare at the mirror. Pull your lips back. It isn't that exactly. In the afterlife, you walk away, and here we are. And the one who is you isn't there. I'm going to end with two... they pronounce guzzles or hazels? Gazelles? Anybody know? Adam, you must
all
know.
All of those. I've been calling gazelle wrong and correct for so long.
All right. I'm going to close with two delicious gazelles that I wrote with. Really generous.
Thank you.
Only the finest.
That was great.
Seriously, there's more back there.
I leave my contacts in.
Right.
Leaves. Two guzzles I wrote with Schaefer Hall, New York poet. Awesome New York poet. The whole trick is, you know, you end each couplet with the same word. So the first one is rug, and the second one is chandelier. Leaves. And I should preface this by saying that I was sneaking lines from Walt Whitman into this one, and I didn't tell Schaefer till like a year later, and he was really pissed off. He didn't know he was writing Walt Whitman poems.
Was Walt Whitman pissed off?
No, he's dead. Leaves. You will hardly know who I am or what I am, but I shall be of good use. I can lay around on a couch like none of your business. I make a good rug. Reading great poetry makes me want to get up and do something with myself, but it never works out. I inevitably spend the entire day rolled up like a taco on the rug. You are the shredded beef of my heart. You are the lettuce of my cool desire. You are the little bits of tortilla chips that I brazenly sweep under the rug. And if, my sweet, I grow bow legs one day and lose my lovely hair. No orthopedic shoes, expensive wigs for me, please, just an indoor, outdoor rug. Keep the washboard and the jug. I'm only writing love poems this October. The silence will be comical. The kisses will be deep as a bug in the rug. Listing lies is heavy work, so I'll just say I'm sorry and hope you're kind enough to ignore the lump that is my body hiding, shaking under the rug. If you're quiet long enough, all you hear is birds and traffic. The peace and goodwill of fender benders and bird calls spreads out like a Persian rug. This last one, also a guzzle, also to Schaefer Hall, whose first book, Never Cry Wolf, is coming out from No-Tell Books this spring. It'll be awesome. This one's called Continuing Education. It's Harvard Square and sun, and the kids are back in town. I walk around making sounds with my mouth. Shh, shh, shh. All the crazy old guys are reading the New York Review of Books while their dentures clack like plastic chandeliers. I am rendered extraterrestrial by a Panama hat. I am proud to note that pedestrians fear me. My top-heavy person dangerous as a loose chandelier. If I'd attended better schools, would those I love be turning blue? Would their mausoleums be many-tiered? Would their funeral homes be chandeliered? The drunks and I relished in the sun at 11 a.m. We've got girls packed into little skirts and beers. We don't need no chandeliers. Blue braces the pink sky at both ends. That's where all the action is. Let's spend our whole nights, lives, aeons under that big fucking chandelier.
Jeff Paris lives in New York City. It just kind of happened, or keeps happening. His job is getting groups of small children to sing and dance. No, really, that's his job. Check out New Genre, the journal he co-edits. His chapbook of prose poems is called The Moth Skull Wind Chime. Jeff Paris.
I'm going to try using partial mic. Is that give my voice a little boost there? Okay. Subtlety. Yeah, that chapbook of prose poems, I thought I might put some of those prose poems into what I'm reading here. I couldn't find it, but various friends have copies of it somewhere, so I'll have to get one of those sometime. So I will read some of the prose poems from 01 Arrow. And the prose poems, I'm going to tell you what they are, but they're pretty short. That's what they look like. This is actual printed out PDF from 01 Arrow. Keep that in my hand. These art frames show the layers beneath the paint. This one, newspaper from 1957. This, studs of wood and lonely brass piping. The last is my favorite, gilded with gold-like paint that I call Mouse Highway. Stand still, study it, and you will see what I mean. Think how it used to feel, stepping into a telephone booth, pulling the door shut, knowing each moment you spoke was consuming the quarter you fed it. You wouldn't say, no reason, just calling, unless you really meant, I can't tell you how empty the street is. I have come to this box to enclose myself in your voice, to make the world through the glass a silent picture, and human sound its humming portent. I remember now. I remember how it felt for you to hold me. On the subway this morning, everyone has cellos instead of shoulder bags. Some women violins instead of purses. And, of course, heading to the airport, the upright bass on its one wheel. Lost in thought, they all hold bows, incorrectly, chuffing them against the strings as the car rocks on its way. No one in tune except the twins in their stroller, boys wailing on their pochette fiddles like angels being squeezed in a vice. My desire for this plate of pasta is both carnal and philosophical. Maybe it's the candlelight and only my hunger for company. Anyway, it is too hot to eat just yet. And wait, seems to be getting hotter. Yes, the cheese is doing this little dance, and damn, my fork resting in the sauce is now too hot to hold. The mushrooms become leathery fool's caps, scud around the marinara like an anarchic pod of whales. The penne begin to chug like loose pistons, roiling flecks of spice to the surface, slimming and hardening like bone. And without flame or audible boiling, the entire meal is shortly a dark crust rimming a white dish. I pay the bill. It would be my word against everything. Between each stanza of your poem, uncannily, the lights on the train go out. As if every five lines the world blanks, and all that exists is the memory of what I just consumed. Then the fan cuts in, and with a sigh, it resumes. An exaggeration of the space you intended, but soothing, natural, as if existence blinks for me, or as if I am transported to the quiet place a poem goes inside us. Another fresco hidden by ocean. A scalloped column turns in kelp. The blunt chainsaw of waves guntle rocks into submission. Water teaches a patience that slowly destroys what is waited for. Add miles of ocean to anywhere, and it becomes remote. Your parents were better lovers than you, back when their bodies were vigorous and they were unafraid of discomfort. They had nights, such nights as you should be lucky to ever approach. I think they are embarrassed by it now. Perhaps it is this embarrassment that has infected your own attempts, or just the nagging sense that it could all be better. And so this is the mystery you've been beating up against all these years. I must say, you're taking it very well. You arrive home to find mice holding a séance on your kitchen table. Eyes closed, palms touching, one squeaking beseechingly, which would be cute if you didn't have a penchant for glue traps, if you didn't feel, starting at your nape, a necklacing of tiny cold teeth. You inherit a company that makes useless things. Even as you sign the papers, its towering factories thrum and churn, rolling out bright red truckloads of absolute crap, that through time-honed ingenuity and aggression will all find a home, and soon after disperse to all the attics, basements, and trash mountains of the world. 1,000 humans will devote the sunniest hours of the best days of the most promising years of their lives to this purpose. It is noon. In a conference hall, a select sampling of employees look up as you step to the podium. You are about to make a speech. I am drinking lotus tea. One consequence of my timid childhood diet is there is still so much to try for the first time. Some of them, like the tea, are tentative gifts, unsolicited by fancy or premonition. Some I wait till I need, like the movie too many people have loved and so must be good, and I save for that afternoon satisfaction despairs of. Save it for years sometimes. But the list gets no shorter. The world never contracts, and I get older, I contract. My brain wrinkles, becomes more topographically complex, its ridges closer and closer together. It turns out there is no utility in saving wonder. You can spend it like a fool, spend it like a billionaire, spend it like a masturbating baboon, toss it with a shatter into the fireplace and holler more like an untamed three-year-old. It's a little late to get this. What an odd, remiss teenager I was. Dog chasing sun and moon. Ocean tumbling after. Its breakers filled with lutes and lyres. Each crested swell beyond a woman's stomach. She is meditating. Of her navel, I am sitting in its boat. Stars unveil above like a foot falling asleep. In the lull they burn, white, then blue, then red. An unseen finger ashes each in turn. I'm not afraid to say angels are battered white helicopters hiding against clouds or in shafts of sun, that their muffled whoomp, whoomp, whoomp is easily mistaken for your heart thudding through your veins, as they only hover near in moments of crisis, mundane or epic, the teetering glass of milk, the hospital discovering anthrax, her hand wandering up my thigh. So in the book, there's a nice white page after the prose poems. So just have a moment, like a white page. That was gentle. What I do when I'm a person is things like pants and drink water. When not, more of like when glass is made into glasses, or bracelets of light from car window catch on baby's wrist. Somewhere between, I watch movies, TV. A couch conveys my bones and fat in smooth half-hour train stops, from light to dark, and back, and back. The shape of a person on a cushion, colored in with child's markers. Oval of a face, thinking distantly of food or sleep. The concerns of light and dark flickering by like the struts of a bridge. On my birthday, I am a purpose no one knows the weight of. I look just like me waiting for the walk signal, just like me lifting back the hood of my sweater. When I am a person, the trucks slow on the bridge over the street. Their windows are pockets of bright sky as the world darkens behind them. Their gears, ah, a sweet pain as they ease forward again. When I am not a person, I leave with them. Tugged along the meridian of day, highway responsible for moving these unnamed concerns in and out of sight. I discover what is out of sight. I discover where it comes from. The years make that same noise, ah, as they strip. No idea how long I've been standing up here. I will read two more. Took two teenagers for a joyride in a stolen flame. Is behind bars tonight as prosecutors ponder mazes of chalk, arguing there should be no flame on the table or in the air. The families of the boys appeared both flushed, weary, and in court. Proceedings were distracted by a flock of birds loose among the pillars, heavy with honey. Any information on the owner of or the flame's first address before it jumped the river, before it rode an ember, an updraft, sailing over firefighters' heads with a lazy catapult grace, and a lit fateful on their hood in that parking lot frustration reverie of unyieldable suburbia, turned cars kindling. Please use the hotline below. Please contact Office State Department when referring to the spark, the wreck, the gallon of gasoline found swinging from a beam in their basement. December poem. A cluster of stars, hiding like a frog in a midnight lake, clutching fronds and trying to tuck down into the cold, blind mud. Because there is only so much life to go around, and it is easy to lose yourself, go diffuse one wayward spark at a time. Like the frog's thoughts in the unrelenting water, as it tries to clench its delicate bones together and wait out the December night. However many bright lights move through the black, stringing themselves out slowly as they touch the edges of massive things. It is always December, and night there, I think, always shutting down, always treasuring each glowing mote. Like the frog must, every slow beat of its pulse. Like the Christmas lights along these quiet streets. Thank you very much.